You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay first aired on June 24, 1988.
This commentary is really not appropriate for the purest birder. He or she who feels that one who never gets out of his car is a bit like the bird dog, which avoids the heavy cover, shunning thicket and weed patch in preference for the trail in the open space. Well, I confess that car-bound bird watchers may be a species of armchair naturalist, but I would hasten to add that some of the best birders I know, those who beat the brush furiously in search of birds of note, are also inveterate roadside watchers. Some might even endorse the following thoughts. Actually, roadside birds, laced along the power lines like a loosely strung pearl necklace, have a number of messages to convey. Power line bird watching is actually a form of bird census. Those birds we see as we wend the highways and the byways generally fall into two categories. Transients, those birds which use the power line as a resting point in their travel from one place to another, and those for which a particular point along the power line is an indication of adjacent territory, sort of a habitual spot. For instance, I once spotted a yellow-billed cuckoo on a backcountry telephone line. I doubt that line perching was a regular practice for that cuckoo, but the event was instructive to me as a focal point to search for a cuckoo's nest. Actually, success in the nest finding did not come until fall, but I was able to spot one of the adults carrying food, a partial confirmation of nesting. All of this was more or less serendipitous, I admit, but I often use roadside observation as an indicator of bird distribution. Even if I had never seen the nest boxes, I would know of the bluebirds nesting along Chapman Road near Marcellus, or the mockingbirds along Stump Road. Roadside counts along my regularly traveled routes between Marcellus and Oswego over the last 6 years indicate a consistent increase in mourning doves. The largest count per mile occurred this spring along Lawrence Road, 36 birds in 1/4 mile. That was fun to see, but I wouldn't try to make much of a point for its significance. It is the results of many such counts that tells. Meanwhile, I highly value sightings of the indigo bunting, cardinal, blue jay, rose-breasted grosbeak, and of course male bluebird, because all were events of memorable beauty. I even value the sightings of starlings, sometimes by the hundred, because they tend to make the adrenaline flow. As a boy of 10 or 12, I fancied myself as the leader of a movement to do away with a starling, or to send it back whence it came. The problem with that was the fact that the starling's villainy is mixed, based on value judgments of a kind inconsistent with the standards of nature. Judged by the tenets of nature's constitution, the starling is not a sinner, simply the innocent victim of man's folly. Still, whenever I see a large gathering of starlings along the roadside, the adrenaline flows, and I wish passionately for nature's Congress to coin a new law with which the starling could in no way comply. At the same time, with the inconsistency typical of man's view of nature, I welcome the success of cardinal and even to some extent the house finch. Both of the latter are Native Americans, which have joined us by expansion of range. I view the increase of the house finch with mixed emotions at best. In many aspects, its presence and its activities mirror those of the house sparrow, but it is distinctly more attractive and more pleasant to listen to. And I repeat, it could be a true immigrant rather than an import. Well, don't investigate that last statement too assiduously. Getting back to the benefits of power line bird watching, I cherish early morning or late afternoon sightings of the meadowlark, tail lowered, bill elevated, and spread wide, and yellow breast and throat turned toward the rising or the setting sun, the personification of energy that seems to be derived directly from the sun. Equally, I enjoy the aerial energy of the handsome male bobolink as he launches from the power line over the meadow, wings aflutter, bill and throat oscillating in a frenzy of song. His message seems to be the prediction, the proclamation, or the reminiscence of a fruitful nesting someplace directly below. Consistent sightings of kingbirds somewhat removed from any potential nest sites might seem inexplicable, but that's a case of poor or incomplete observation. A power line is a great place for a foraging flycatcher, better in a number of ways than the nearby nest site, just barely concealed from roadside view by screening shrubs along the right-of-way or by intervening buildings. During the next month and a half, the power line will improve measurably as a place to brush up on the identification of swallows, as young and adults congregate in preparation for early migration. That's the thing about power line bird watching these days. It can serve as a vehicle for scientific investigation or for pleasant serendipity. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.